This is what she said. If you don't want me to, that's okay. Like, she was hoping I would say something that would give her an out. It's not happening. So praise the Lord.
Hello. You can just call me the Samaritan woman. Thank you. I'm just going to start by praying. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you, God, that your words will just speak light to this congregation, God. That everything that comes out of my mouth, God, will not be in vain, but will be for your glory, Jesus. Amen. As you know, we went to a conference, and one of the ladies, the first night, she said, I just feel that God's telling me that this weekend is going to change some of your destinies, that this weekend is going to change your way of life, and I'm here to tell you that this weekend's not over. I was talking to Lynette after the service, and I was crying, and I was like, Lynette, the hardest part for me is I knew better. I know better. I know the Word of God. I've been to Bible college. I've been in church my whole life, and yet I still made poor choices, and I have a hard time relating to people in the church because, you know, there's people like Michelle and Josh who, you know, they weren't serving God, and then they found God, and they've never turned back. And I'm jealous of that. I'm jealous of that. But so I was saying, that really hurts, and I feel condemnation. And then the second service, a gal said, "This is your problem. Your problem is you have an easier time relating to the world and the natural realm than you do to the spiritual realm and the supernatural realm." And so this right here is me relating to the supernatural realm, just to let you know. If you all have your Bibles, which I hope you do, can you please turn to John 4:7? It's important that you read it with your own word and in your own eyes, because the Lord can talk to you different than how he's talking to me, but I need to share how he's talking to me with the scripture. So it's important that you follow along with me and hold tough, because it's going to be quite a few scriptures, but I have to obey. So if you look at John 4:7, who's there? Are we there? How many of you guys have heard the story of the Samaritan woman? No? Oh, I'm excited. Okay, so verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." I didn't hear no please. Did you hear please? I didn't hear please. I would have been like, what? You're telling me what to do? Are you serious? But no, that's not even how this girl is. This is what she says. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. This is important later, but I can't skip any scriptures. So then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me?" So she viewed it as he asked her for a drink, and she was more overwhelmed in the fact that he was even talking to her. Come on, right? I'm sitting there going, last night, God, why are you talking to me? Do you know what I've done? And then he continues on in verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." That's a promise. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water?" Is she thinking? Is she relating to the natural realm here, or is she relating to the supernatural realm? I think that she's relating to her natural realm right here, and God's whispering to me, "This is you. Alicia, this is you. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Okay, so this tells me that this this Samaritan woman, she knew the word of God, right? She knew the word of God. She knew better. She knows what's going on here. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. So he's relating to her in the natural realm because that's all she can see at this point. But whoever drinks of water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Come on, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, God. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. She's thirsty. She knows she needs something. But part of me was going, well, if I'm her, I'm thinking, I don't want to have to go to this well again. I don't want to have all these people see me at this well again. Is she feeling condemned when she goes to drink the water? I don't know. We shall see. So in verse 17, the woman answered and said, verse 15, give me this water, I may not thirst again. Come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Alicia, this is you. This is you. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Again, she knows. Does she not know? Has she not made some kind of connection to the supernatural world? Does she not know about Jesus? Does she not know about the Jews and the well? Does she already not know? I knew. I know better. Verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. And the Lord began to quicken my spirit. He began to pour out the things that I worship instead of him. He began to talk to me and tell me, Alicia, you're not worshiping me, you're worshiping other things. But the hour is coming now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such a worshiper. Oh, I know he's seeking me to worship him in spirit and truth. And folks, this is what I'm trying to do right now, is I'm trying to worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. There's no question about if it's a choice or not. It's a must. You must worship him in spirit and truth. Is that not what Gaylene was talking about this morning just a half a second ago? Yes, it was. God has a plan for this church. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming. Does she not know Jesus? Has she not heard about him? Alicia, this is you. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Did he not just tell her 5 seconds ago all things that she has going on? Hello, Alicia. Wake up. Jesus, and at verse 27, if you're following along, and at this point his disciples came and they marveled that he had talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot. Now, I've heard this scripture over and over and over again, and I've never quite heard it this way, but the last sermon yesterday, where did my notes go? I don't know. The gal said that she's heard it, that this water pot means your old lifestyle, that her leaving this comfortable thing and setting it there and taking off is leaving her old lifestyle. And I began to pray about that, and I was like, Lord, I don't want to leave my old lifestyle. I was telling Lynette, but Lynette, what I struggle with is the fact that I still desire to do those things. I know they're evil. I know they're dark. I know they're not of God. I know the truth, and yet I desire them. Let me tell you what God has to say about that. So if you can turn the next page over, John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is perfect. I saw her running around with this, and I thought, oh, man, that's me. Hi, I'm Alicia. I like the darkness. In fact, I love it. I come to church because I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and someday, maybe someday, that light will come through to me again. I'm scared that my deeds would be exposed. God said, they will be. In fact, they will be to the whole church. She also talked about how we have to exchange something. That's how a lot of God, God doesn't always work that way, but that is one of his ways. And we have to exchange something. And I remember when I was in Bible college, and I was telling Lynette this, people would tell me, oh, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. And I would just say, thank you, not believing it. But he spoke to me, and I had to confess my sin to the pastor of that church, and there was risk involved, and risk that he would judge me, or risk that he wouldn't see me for who I was. But you know what? God told me to do that, and in doing that, I found freedom. But the difference was that sin was put upon me when I was a child. Now, this is sin that I've chose to walk in and love. Huge. Huge difference there. But I have to tell you that God did show me that I was beautiful and make me feel like I was beautiful. And it didn't come from man. It came from God. And I believe that it was because of the risk and the obedience that I took is the only way that I felt that. So I'm here to tell you right now that I'm going to take a risk. But I believe that I serve a big God, and that this is not in vain. And this is for a reason. And God is going to bless me. And I will feel that once again. I will feel his presence. He told me last night, Alicia, you want to feel my presence every single day? You want to feel my presence in and out of school, in and out of every place that you go? You want to touch lives? There's going to be a risk. You're going to have to make an exchange. Whew. Oh, Lord. I give it to you, God. Pastor Mike, can you come over, please? I worship weed. I worship smoking weed. I can relate to it a lot easier than I can relate to most of you. But I'm exchanging this. I'm exchanging this for something bigger.
Yes.
I'm exchanging this for my inheritance. Yes. So here you go. Father God, I just repent right now, Lord. I repent for worshiping a thing that's not of you, God. I repent for worshiping we, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, God, that when temptation comes, I will just fill your spirit, Lord, like no tomorrow, God, that I will dig into your word and it will be alive again, God. That I will have a passion like nothing else before, Lord. Father, I love you and I believe that your word is truth, God. And I just... I just repent right now, Lord, not turning back, God. I turn completely 180 degrees, God, and I face your direction, and I face the light. I want to love the light, God, and not love the darkness, Lord. Yes. I need you, God. I need your strength right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
But it's not done. It's not done. There's more. I gotta share more. I do. I gotta share more. Sorry. There's just more. I have to share it.
Folks, if you have a religious spirit in you, get rid of it right now, because this is life. This is the day that we live in. No longer is the enemy going to have our life and have us in a stranglehold. And right now, this woman is being delivered from the things that so many of us still are bound with. She is to be free from this day on. I declare it in Jesus' name.
Okay, so we're back in 28, and it says the woman then left her water pot. It's kind of funny, but in my book it says water on the one side of the sheet, and then the other side says pot. I know it sounds pretty really ridiculous, but it's here. So I left my water pot at the well, and but then it says in 29. Wait, 28. Okay, so the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city. Folks, you're my city. You're my city. She went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. He knows what you've done. Could this be the Christ? Are you kidding me? Is she still questioning? What? That's right. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, okay, so John goes on this side trail, which I'm going to go on this side trail with him because there's still more good stuff down below. Says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 32. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Folks, what Pastor was just even saying, there's some religious, if you have a religious spirit, that he's talking to his disciples. I have a food to eat of which you do not know. These are his own disciples. These are his own followers. These are the ones who've seen all of his miracles. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Are they still getting it? Are they still? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? I'm thinking last night, Lord, do you really want me to do this? Do you really want me to do this? And then comes the harvest. I'm like thinking maybe 6 months, you know. Maybe I'll just smoke this little bit, and maybe in 6 months, you know, I'll be delving in the Word, and then maybe God will use me. Maybe God will use me to touch the lives of other people through my weaknesses. And he says, no, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Amen. And look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. We're talking about our supernatural realm here, right? We're back to our supernatural realm. I'm relating to my supernatural realm, not in what I can relate to best. Gathers fruit for eternal life, that both who sows, I'm sure there's lots of you who've sowed here, and he who reaps may rejoice together. Can we rejoice together? Can we? It wasn't that in worship today too? I'm thinking, oh Lord, man, you are starting to plow up that ground. You're starting to work their hearts. Where did that little sheet of paper go? Did I lose it? Oh, there it is. Before I move on, I there's something else. There's someone else who needs this. It's more specifically in regards to plowing the ground, because that was another part of the message. And one of the ladies spoke about, what do they call it? Cultivating the ground, and he's working it up. And I believe that he started cultivating my heart during not transformed. What is it called? Transformed now? Yeah, transformed. I was gonna say, transformed. I get the names. Anyways, during transformed, and I'll tell you, God, he began to cultivate me there, but I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I went up there and was like, I can repent of this, and I can repent of that, but this one I want. This one I love. I can't do that. Not yet. But God, you can go ahead and start. Go ahead. Go ahead. You know? And when I first came to this church, and sounds, I'm ashamed to say it, but I was sitting up in the balcony, and I wasn't really listening to the word, and I was kind of thinking about my finances and all my budget, and so I asked Jesse, I was like, can I use one of these papers up here? So I get this paper, which is this paper, by the way, has all my finances, like, all over it. Mm-hmm. And Thursday, as I'm preparing to go to this conference, I'm going through my wallet, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to throw away some of my stuff. And I see this paper, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the all my finances are, that's last month, so we're good. I can throw this away. But at the top of this paper, at the top of the paper, I read, chains be broken. And I don't know who this is. I don't know who this is. But there's this conversation going on here. And it says, the first thing, what can we do to get those things? I'm sure that that person's going, whatever Pastor Mike has, that's what I want. I want that light. What can I do to get these chains be broken off of me? And then the responder says, you're a prisoner, comfortable in your own cell, adapted to your way of life. And the whole time, the gate has been unlocked, but we have been so used to doing the same thing that we don't even try the gate. And then there's like a pause. I love that. I do. I love that in the Bible. You have to think about it a little bit. And then they say, after you've been in prison for so long, it becomes your way of life. Many don't want to be free because they don't know how to function. And I'm reading this Thursday, and I'm thinking, man, that is so me. That is so me. I am a prisoner trapped in my own way of life. I've become so used to it. But what I think they're missing is you begin to love it. They love it in their cell. And I read the last part and it says, you don't want to be free because you don't know, you're afraid you won't know how to function. Whew. Oh, Lord, am I ever fearful that how am I going to do the dishes now? How am I going to do my laundry? For those of you who can relate to me, you know what that means. But I think that this person needs to be set free. I think that there's some of you in this church that needs to be set free today. That you need to go through that door. You need to open that door. And you just have to believe that God is going to help you function. And not only function, but you are going to function in the highest capacity that you've ever seen. You are going to function in his spirit and into that supernatural realm and not in what is easier to relate to. Okay, so we're going back to the scripture. So he who reaps may rejoice together. Verse 37, for in this saying it is true, one sows and another reaps. 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Oh, Jesus. Others have labored, and you have entered into their laborers. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman. What? All right, Lord. So I'm stepping in faith. I'm going to share this word, believing that the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. I'm thinking, oh man, if this Samaritan woman wouldn't have done that, if she wouldn't have ran back to her city not caring that she had five husbands and living with another one, if she hadn't run back just saying, I don't care what they're going to think. Would they have gotten to spend 2 days with Jesus? Would many believe because would they even have known that he was there? So then in 41, and many more believed because of his own word. Meaning that they didn't believe it because she said it, but if she didn't say it, they wouldn't have been able to meet him, and they wouldn't have been able to hear his words, and they wouldn't have been able to believe. And verse 42, this is where it really comes into perspective. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said." I hope it's not because of what I say, folks. I hope the word of God is speaking to your hearts right now. "For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Thank you, Jesus, that you are my Savior, that you are here to save this world, that you are here to save this city, to save this church. I'm not oblivious to the fact that temptation will come, but I do know this, that the last time that God has gotten a hold of my heart like this, it was not but 2 years later. 2 years, that's a long time, right? I thought I was good. I thought, oh, I got this strong relationship with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's changed my heart. He's healed me. I am so ready to do his will. And then little things start creeping in. These small things, they just start creeping in. Next thing I know, it's 5 years later, and I have a kid. Are you kidding me? Really? Where'd I go wrong? What happened? I still don't know. I really don't. I don't know when it all started changing. I don't know. But I do know this. I stopped worrying my word. I stopped talking to people like Casey, to people like Gaylene, saying, "Hey, I don't have it all together. Hey, I'm feeling a little lonely right now. I'm having a hard time doing my dishes without being high. Think you could come over and help me and talk to me at least so I can captivate those thoughts?" That was another thing they talked about at this conference. You got to learn how to captivate your thoughts. When I start getting a thought of who I was, of my past, of the being the Samaritan woman, I'm going to captivate those thoughts. I'm going to go right into my word. I'm going to go right into my word, and I'm going to say, "Lord, speak to my heart right now because I need you. I've tried to do this on my own, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work." Come here for a second, please. I was perfectly content just thinking, "Oh, yeah, I'm at a conference. Look at me. I'm trying, Lord, don't I get any credit?" But I've known Lynette for a really long time, and this might seem a little silly, but I was wondering if you would be my Jonathan. Awesome. And I have to do this because I know that there's some hurting people in this church just like I'm hurting or was hurting. I know there's a lot of people in this church that love the darkness, that you think I can't go into the light because I know my sin will be exposed, my deeds will be exposed. And I don't know if this is okay or not, but I would just like to invite you up here. If you need to repent. And I was hoping that that the pastors and some of the leadership could just gather around me and just pray that strength will be there, and that I won't be independent, that I will depend on others around me, that I will dig into my word, that I will have it be alive in my heart. So if this is you, feel free to come up here, and if Pastor could come up and just pray over me those things, I would really appreciate it.
Where the Spirit of the Lord Jesus reigns. We receive it, God. We receive it, Lord. Oh, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. I'm not going back, oh God. Oh, but I believe there is freedom here, Lord. If I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, oh God. Just declare, you are good, you are good, you are good. Yes, you are good, you are good, you are good, you are good. Oh, you are good to us, you are good to us, oh Lord. Oh, God, we receive your goodness. God, we receive your mercies, oh God. Jesus, oh, you are good to us. Come on. Freedom reigns in this place. Yes, it does, oh God. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Oh, yes, oh God. Oh, there's freedom here. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Right now, I just want to say this really quick. If you know somebody that is going through something, if it's an addiction or whatever it is, I want us to stand in the gap for that person right now. And I want us to literally declare and to prophesy over them right now freedom in their lives. So whoever it is, if it's a friend, family member, a coworker, whoever it is, I want us to just to stand up and just believe in faith that God is going to literally, He can do it right now. He can set them completely free. Amen. So as we just declare this and as we sing this, I want us to literally just look at, get their image in your mind and literally stand in the gap for that person and believe God for their deliverance and their healing and their and God setting them free. Amen. Let's do that right now. Hallelujah, God. We just declare this, Jesus, freedom. God, not only in our lives, but those around us, Lord. God, those that are in our friends and our families, Lord, our coworkers, God. We just declare right now freedom in their lives, God. God, set them free. God, deliver them right now, Father God. We believe it, Lord. We believe it. Come on, just declare it. Oh, freedom reigns in this place. Yes, oh God. Yes, Lord. Showers of mercy and grace falling down, Lord. Falling on every face. Yes, Lord. There is freedom. There is freedom, Lord. Freedom reigns in this place. Yes, it does, God. Showers of mercy and grace falling down, falling on every face.
Praise the Lord. See, I have a headset on. I was supposed to preach in man's plans, but God had other plans. I'm here to tell you today that what happened here today needs to start happening in our life every day. That we maybe make some plans, but God is the one who establishes them. Because that's when we'll get victory. That's when reality will come. That's when people will walk in a freedom that God designed for them to walk in. It's not about playing a game anymore. It's not about looking good on the outside and having dead man's bones on the inside. It's about having the resurrection power of Jesus Christ living in us, active in us, to where we change a world. Amen? Amen! Hallelujah! Freedom will reign in this house, God. No more is the enemy going to wreak havoc in these lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I could stay here all day and watch what God does. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. Spirit of living God, fall afresh on His vessels today. Fill us to overflowing, God. Make these temples houses of prayer. Make these places where Your Word abides. Not just we know it a little bit in our head. No, it abides. It lives in us, God. And we move and we live and we have our very being in Your Word and who You are. Jesus, make these lives of faith a reality. Not something that is a playing game on Sundays and then we live a life that's a lie the rest of the time. God, let our lives be 24/7, 365 reality. Let the supernatural be our natural. Let Your kingdom be what we live in, Lord. Let people look at us and say, what is going on with them? God, because You're in us and You're alive and You're doing a work that's mighty in this day. We release You to do that work in our lives today, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done in Alicia, God. Thank You, Lord, that she is never going to be the same. God, that when people see her now, they're going to say, who is that? Yes, God, we release, God, that prophetic word that's in this woman of God, and let it have its full place in this day, God. Let her not be despised, God, because of who she is, Lord. Let her be, Lord, lifted up in Christ, in Jesus' name. Thank You, God. Pray for everyone that's baptized, God. Lord, let this be a new day in their life, God. Let them walk in this newness of life like never before, Lord. Let tomorrow, God, be so fresh and new to them, Lord, that they'll think, Lord, they've died and gone to heaven. We praise Your name, Jesus. We praise Your name. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Well, musicians, could you just continue to play? I'm just going to let the Spirit of God continue to move. If you want to come up and you need prayer, maybe it's a need in your life, I'm just going to encourage you to come up. If you need to go get the children, you can do that. But I really believe that God's not complete with this moment. Lord, we just release, God, Your will right now in this service. Lord, that Your perfect plan would be fulfilled, God. I just pray right now, God, for every person, Lord, that's being hesitant, God, of stepping, Lord, out of that dark area, Lord, into Your light, Lord, that You'd release them now in Jesus' name. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Your perfect will be done, God. Your kingdom be established in these lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd rather be no place. I'd rather be no place. I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I'd rather be, no, no, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control, 'cause I want more of you, God, and I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, and I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. And I want more of you, God, and I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Place I'd rather be, Jesus. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. So set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul, I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God, and I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be than hearing your love. soul. I can't contain, I can't control. And I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. And I want more of you, God. Oh, I'm not satisfied, yes, oh Lord. So set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. And I want more of you, God. And I want more of you, God. We want more of you, Lord. We're not satisfied, God. Oh, Jesus, I want more, I want more, and I want more. You're all I want, and I want more, I want more, and I want more. You're never seen before, God. Oh, we long, long for you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're glorious, God. Rain down your spirit. Rain down your power. Rain down your spirit. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Rain down your spirit. Rain down your power. Rain down your spirit. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Rain down your spirit. Rain down your spirit. Rain down your glory. Have your way, Lord. 'Cause we long for your glory, we long for your glory, new beginnings, fresh outpourings like we've never seen. Rise now. Show your power and open wide the gates. Rise now, Lord. Rise now. Show your power. Show your power and open wide the gates. Rain down, Lord. Rain down your spirit. Rain down your power. Rain down your glory. Have your way, Lord Jesus.
Spirit.